God. Word of God, word of life. Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum, by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. For those who sat in the region of the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. He said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We're a people who get along about everything, right? Oh, you're looking at me like I'm insane. Okay, good. Let's just think about this. But we're not a people who get along about a whole lot of stuff. If we admit it, we have all sorts of things that we divide ourselves on. Like, I'm just going to throw this out there. I'm a person who feels that pineapple does not belong on pizza. It just shouldn't be there. And there are some who will agree with me, and there are some who will disagree with me. And the people who agree with me will form a little group and a little committee and try to pass a mandate that there should never, ever, ever be pineapple on pizza. And the other people will do the exact same thing, except there should always be pineapple on pizza. And we'll have two groups, and we'll get them together, and we'll have a giant argument, a huge fight will happen. This happens, right? About pizza. And about sports teams. About schools. When I was a kid, I was trained to kill on the sight of green and yellow. That was our high school rival. We have these divisions, these conflicts that arise from these things. Schools and sports teams and food and restaurants, and sometimes it even happens in churches, doesn't it? Where we have those things where we're divided. And they cause arguments, they cause conflicts to arise. Now, we are ethnocentric people. That means we like to gather with people who think the same way we do. And we gather together and we like to talk with each other who agree with us. That's just how we are as creatures, deep within us. But as we continue to do that, we can find ourselves in an entrenched community where we have our ideas and we believe that our ideas are the only ones that matter, like pineapples doesn't belong on pizza, and we need to force those ideas upon everybody else. And everybody else is wrong or somehow crazy. But we see this play out in every aspect of our lives, don't we? And today, it's really easy to get entrenched in that place where we think we are right and everybody else is wrong based on whatever the division is. Because it's really easy to only be surrounded by voices who say the same thing you think. Now, this division, this conflict arising due to differences of opinion and ideas, I've learned apparently it's been around ever since people have had opinions. Which means we're in good company. It was around in the first century world as well for Paul. Paul traveled around. He was once known as Saul, and he had a change of mind, and he changed his name. And he helped establish a bunch of churches in the early years. And one of the churches, the church in Corinth, he loved them very dearly. And he got a letter from one of his friends that said, there are people in our church who are fighting with each other. None of us can relate to that, can we? Should we talk about the color of the carpet? Okay, good. Right? And they said, in this church, there are people who are gathered together that are fighting about different leaders in our community. Some say, I believe everything Paul says and everybody else is rubbish. And I believe everything Apollo says, or I believe everything Peter says. And they were gathering themselves around these leaders in their church and saying, everybody else is wrong. And it was causing divisions and fights and pain and anguish. The church was splintering because they were looking more at the way they're separate than the way they're connected. Rather than noticing the things they share, they were focusing on the ways they were different. And it led to a problem. And Paul urged the people to be of one mind and one spirit and one purpose. They were entrenched in their own ideas, like maybe many of us are today, where we get stuck in the way we think it should be and don't hear the other voices in our lives. And on this same day, we hear of Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee. And he's walking. He's just heard that his cousin has been imprisoned, soon to be killed. He begins taking up his cousin's message to repent. It's not a different message, it's the same message, the exact same words. And as he's walking by the road, by the sea, he looks out onto the sea and sees some boats, which is not surprising because he fished on that sea. And in those boats, he sees some young men, and he says to those young men, follow me. And they do. Now, how many of you this week, when you're sitting in your office, and if somebody came to the door, knocked on the door, and said, hi, I have a new job for you, come and follow me, would go with them? Okay, there's some blank stares. This is good. Many of you would think, that person is insane. This is crazy. What the heck is going on here? In that first century Jewish world, young boys and girls went through what was called Tanakh school. They would learn the Hebrew scriptures, and they would learn to question them and memorize the scriptures and bounce them back and forth with one another. And eventually, it would get to be so hard or get to be so expensive, you just couldn't do it anymore. And it was beyond you, and you would drop out of that school, and then you would go join your family's trade and take up that business for work. And only the best of the best of the best, the smartest, the bravest, the best, wellest connected, who made it finally to the end, were eligible to apply to a rabbi to become one of that rabbi's disciples. Okay? So to become a disciple of a rabbi was really hard to do, and the rabbi had to pick you. After you came to the rabbi and said, look at my credentials, look at how great I am, I must be worthy to be your follower. And here Jesus is walking by the side of the sea and sees these two sets of brothers who maybe had dreams of being a disciple. We don't know. But we do know they were doing their family's business. Whatever they had been doing, they found that that's where they landed. And they stayed at home with people that probably thought the same as them, had the same opinions on things as them, the same idea of how to fish, the same ideas of how to gather. They were in a comfortable community who agreed with them. And Jesus comes to them and says, you, you're good enough. You're smart enough. You're worthy enough. You, come follow me. Be my disciple. And they do. For whatever reason. They get up and they follow him. But notice, as they follow Jesus, they leave that comfortable community behind, don't they? They leave their family, their friends, all the people who agree with them. They leave that community to follow after Jesus. And in their following of Jesus, they learn a new way, a third way, a different way of walking in the world. A way not focused on the ways we're different from each other, but the way focused on how much God loves us. And they learn to walk and speak of this different way. And note, they don't always get it right. Two of the people who were called that we hear about in this morning's story, they kind of ask Jesus to call down fire on a town. Do you think that's what he had in mind? They have their differences. They have their falling outs, their faults.
They bumped their heads against each other, but they found a way to work with each other to the ministry Jesus had called them to love God with everything and love one another as we love ourselves and as God loves us. And those disciples began to learn a different way of walking in the world. A way, again, not focused on division, but focused on unity and love. Not focused on what separates us from each other, but what we have in common. And that love of God that we all share. And they learn to walk in that. And Paul, and I would say Jesus, urges us to be of one mind and one spirit. The spirit and mind of Christ, not our own. And as we follow Christ, that doesn't mean that we lose our differences, that we lose our opinions, that we lose the things that separate us from each other, because we don't. You all know that. We still have our opinions. We still have our differences. We still have the things that separate us from each other. We have disagreements about all sorts of things. But we learn from Christ that we can set those differences aside and do the ministry He calls us to. And then come back and pick them up and talk about why they're different and try to find a way together to move forward together, but to be reminded of the ministry that God calls us to. So that our disagreements, they don't disqualify us from being partners in ministry. We can focus on the mission God has given us, and in doing so, be of one mind and spirit. Because we all, as we have come together, have been washed in the waters of baptism and been invited to let that be what defines us, not the ways we're separate from one another, but be reminded that we are beloved children of God, washed clean, each and every one of us. Even the people who think pineapple belongs on pizza are washed clean, beloved children of God. And to focus on that, what binds us together, and to let our commitment to one another be stronger than our differences. And in doing so, we can shine a beautiful, powerful light into a world that, as we all know very well, is very fractured and broken and separated based on all those things that we know divide us. And we can walk into that space with a message of love and hope. That while we are people of differences, maybe even some very deep differences, we can be partnered in ministry with one another to what God is calling us to do. To love as we have been loved, and to share that love, and to let that message of unity amidst difference, can be a beautiful, powerful light we can shine into the world today. A light that teaches the world about the way of Jesus, shows the world through our words and our deeds that there is a God who loves us, all of us, no matter what. Friends, will you pray with me? Dearest Lord Jesus,